As Caleb spoke these words in verse 7 of Joshua chapter 14, he was reflecting on a time in his life's experience that he would never forget. He had, with all of his heart, sought in a logical way to encourage the children of Israel to enter into Canaan. What he had to say to them way back when they stood on the border there was, it was inspiring, or at least it ought to have been. And he found that with the vast majority of the people there, there was absolutely no interest in pressing on into the land that the Lord had given to Joshua and Caleb and the children of Israel. You and I cannot fully comprehend and understand the heartache that must have been with Caleb and Joshua at that time. Those men did not deny that going into Canaan was going to present difficulties. There were great walled cities, and of course the giants were there, and numerous other difficulties, but God had already done so much that Caleb and Joshua were very willing to just rest on Him, do what they could as men, and rely on Him to do the rest. But apathy, we believe, played no small part in the decision of the people, who became actually very, very angry with Caleb to such an extent that they talked of stoning him and Joshua because of their determination that they would go on in to take the land for the Lord. Caleb continued on as a faithful and a godly man. He stood by the side of Moses. Many a time Moses was derided and criticized by those who didn't seem to do much else. And he stood with him then. And when Moses died, he stood with Joshua. And in many ways you could say that Joshua and Caleb, they walked a lonely pathway together. Joshua, as many of you are aware, was a reluctant replacement for Moses. He felt himself an ordinary man. And of course that is no bad thing for any man to feel, but the Lord undertook for him and became a brilliant military and spiritual leader of the people there. And Canaan was entered. And as we look at this chapter in Joshua chapter 14, the allotment of the land, or the distributing of the inheritance to the people, has now begun. And Caleb is here. And Caleb hasn't forgotten all those years ago. He had laid up in his memory exactly what God had said. There's no doubt there were other things that he forgot and things that people said to him that he wanted to forget. But he remembered what God had said. And here he is now. He's 45 years have passed by, and he has as much faith in God as he had back then when he knew about the giants and the walls and all the difficulties and the battle that there would be, and he knew all about that. It hasn't changed. God has even given to him, in a physical sense, a great degree of strength, he says, for his age. And folks, faith is not a frame of mind. Sometimes when people are downcast, you've heard the saying, look on the bright side, and it's good to try to do that, but that's not faith. And faith is not a positive outlook, and I try to have that. I said to the congregation in Ockley on numerous occasions, I try to be optimistic. But that is not faith. Faith is believing what God says. And that is where Caleb was at this time in his experience. Now remember that he was greatly disappointed in the day that the children of Israel would not go in. He had to turn back. And yet he never stopped believing what God had said. My title this morning is, when not seeing is believing. When not seeing is believing. Because for many years, Caleb was not in the land of Canaan. As far as he was concerned, one day he would be there. I want to look with you first of all this morning. Our first point is that circumstances did not distract him from what God had said. Circumstances did not distract Caleb from what God had said. in speaking to Joshua in these words that we've read together this morning, five times in this short speech, he refers to what the Lord had said. Now, it's good, men and women and young people, to have the Word of God in our heart. Wherever we go, whether it's in school and we come up against difficulties, wherever it is, it's good to know that God is as good as His Word. We look back there in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 32. I'll just read Deuteronomy 1 verse 32. It says, "Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God." And I'm going to read from there on. "Who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in far by night, to show you by what way you should go, and a cloud by day. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth, and sware, saying, Surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see the good land, which I swear to give unto their fathers, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord." There's the promise. And Caleb had not forgotten what God had said. There would not have been a day in his life's experience, down through all of those years, as one year slipped into another. A whole generation had come and gone. It was a generation of time. And there would not have been a day when he did not remember these promises. The promises of God lived on with him. He remembered Hebron. He remembered well the grapes of Eshcol. He remembered the land that flowed with milk and honey. And nothing, as far as Caleb was concerned, would be a substitute for Hebron that God had promised to him. Abraham had pitched his tent there. Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebekah and Rachel were all buried there. And there was little sign for long enough that Caleb would ever be there. But, ladies and gentlemen, Caleb deliberately, and this is what I have to do, and you have to do too. Caleb deliberately turned his eyes from the circumstances. Now, he did not act irresponsibly or suffer from diminished responsibility. There were things he had to do every day, I'm sure. But from the circumstances, as far as entering Canaan was concerned, and having Hebron was concerned, he turned his eyes from the circumstances. And folks, not being harsh, he turned his eyes from the people. Some people are brilliant encouragers, and we are all to try to be encouragers, but Caleb had to turn his attention here from those who were not encouragers, and he fixed his eyes and his thoughts steadfastly upon God and on Hebron. And so what it was for year after year. And he bases everything now as he comes to Joshua with this request. We read about it earlier on. "Now, therefore, give me this mountain." Because he had laid up everything that God said in his heart. And he says in verse 7, "I brought him word again as it was in mine heart." There was no deceit with him or devious behavior. He was just straightforward. "And he brought word as it was in his heart." And in his heart, along with the word that God had given to him, this promise lived on. And folks, there are probably people here today, and there are things that you have been seeking the Lord for a long time. Some of you may be a little bit older than me, and I can look back to, since I got saved, people I've been praying for many years now, and they're still not saved. This day they will be in other places. They won't be in a place of worship, but rather they'll be in other places where God's name will be taken in vain, and in other activities where God's day is not honored. And folks, you can think today of some that you love. Some that you know and you've prayed for years that they would be converted. And it seems that over the years, if anything, there's been a growing hardness to the Word of God. And yet God has promised you in His Word, perhaps, "Thou shalt be saved in thy house." Maybe you're one of these people, and I've spoken to quite a number of them, and they're hanging on to that promise that they believe the Lord gave to them individually. and they're bringing it before the Lord every single day in prayer for their loved ones. But the years have gone by, and how much has changed? How much has changed over the years? And yet, brothers and sisters, if you and I have the Word of God in our heart, even concerning the situation in Northern Ireland, strip away the veneer. Whenever we're going out for a day, we often come to the coast. Normally, it's the north coast. And I used to like it till they discovered that you can walk from that wee village to right up to Giant's Causeway and then back across the coast. And the last time my children made me walk it was blowing. And I thought, well, we'll have to go somewhere else. Maybe go to Newcastle the next time. But anyway, you come up and you see everybody about and you meet people you hadn't seen for a while in the summertime, and it's lovely and it's beautiful scenery in different parts of the country, wherever you go for a day. But strip away the veneer and there's sin in every hand. There's growing opposition to God's Word. There's the pressurizing of Christians not just to tolerate but to embrace that which is an abomination to the Lord. There is pressure on the children as there never was before. And that is how it is all around us. Northern Ireland slipping into a dark place. Let some of you folk here today have been praying for a better day. Praying that God would come again and revive a blessing. And you've been doing it for a long time. Well, you and I can thank God today that God and His Word never changes. Even with all the changes that time brings. And what He has promised, He's able to do. You've been involved here, like the rest of us, in spreading the Word of God the best you can. And maybe in some ways, you haven't seen all the results that you would like to see. I think that would be the story with all of our churches. Well, over there in the Psalm 126, that Psalm speaks about revival, the early part of it. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them in the dream. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. But look at verse 6. It says, He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. The word bearing there is a word that means to hold high, to bear along. And that's what you're doing. Our brother mentioned an open-air witness, and you're doing it here on a Sunday, no doubt, and when you have special missions or whatever around your vicinity here, you're holding up the Word of God, and then when people come in, you're holding it up again. But it says there, bearing precious seed, and that is referring to the Word, but there's a meaning associated with that word, precious, which means a drawing forth. You're not holding up some storybook for them. You're holding up the Word of God. You're preaching Christ crucified to them. In love, of course, you're preaching it to them. But you're preaching it to men and women. And God's Word. There's a drawing effect about God's Word. God's Holy Spirit and His Word work in unison. And He uses His Word to draw men and women to Himself. Thinking of one individual now. He would be an older man at this time. But he was living an ungodly life. And one day, when he was going away with a few other guys, a young girl who was a Christian had been trying to witness to them, or several young girls in the group, and give out tracts, whatever, and they made fun of them. But when he was walking away, she quoted a verse that never left him. Never left him. And it kept coming up. And God spoke to his heart through that verse until he got saved. God is as good as His Word. God's Word has not changed. The promise here is that goeth forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The word weepeth there in Hebrew, it implies persevering in the face of disappointment. So maybe that is a picture of 2020 in Northern Ireland. You just keep on sowing the good word that God uses to draw men to himself. You lift him up in the preaching, and your heart is heavy as you pray for the work that you're doing. But remembering this, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. God's Word will not return unto him void. And God's Word today, men and women, is as sure for us as it was for Caleb. People look around you, and many Christians becoming very, very discouraged, and even disillusioned. And people are tending to associate themselves with that which is, in my opinion, a bit of a got-up performance, that which is sensational, and there's a bit of a go about the place, and that the reverent worship and seems to be left on the shelf in some cases. People are doing it because they want to feel good. These are hard days in God's work. But His Word has not changed. And we read in the Word that the councils of hell, that Christ shall build His church, and the gates of hell, literally means the councils of hell, shall not prevail against it. Now, of course, that verse implies that they would try to. And it seems that with the setbacks that there often are in individual works, or in the country as a whole regarding Christianity and evangelical endeavour, that the devil is winning. But remember the promise of Christ. I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And as we meet here today, that's exactly what He's doing. We can pray. I can't dictate to Him what to do or when to do it. But we can pray and bring our needs before Him. And we know that there's one been saved here and two there. Christians edified here and somewhere else. Churches established here and there across the world. And Christ is building His church. And isn't it right to say that all around us right now, all around us there is our circumstances that would have you to turn away, to look for something more. Maybe without even discarding most of the things that you have, holding on to them, but to look for something more. Men and women, all over the years, the Lord has blessed the preaching of His Word, the faithful witness of His people. And here's Caleb. A long time in waiting till this day came when he could say to Joshua, "Now therefore give me this mountain." And he refers in that verse 7 to his heart. He laid up the word in his heart that the Lord had given to him, that Moses had said. But you know, he never forgot anything that the Lord said. And today or tomorrow when you go out into your workplace or school or whatever, remember this, folks. Whatever the circumstances, God's word hasn't changed. We give the title this morning, "When Not Seeing Is Believing." It's quite easy to believe when you can see everything and you know the way ahead clearly. But when you don't, and you're in a situation like Caleb was, and maybe there's someone here today and things are a bit cloudy at the moment, you just don't know what lies ahead. And you've been brought to that point where you're having to take it just one day at a time. Maybe regarding a loved one unwell or something else. Remember this: believing when not seeing. When not seeing. That was the experience of Caleb. But I want to move on here and not just notice that circumstances did not distract him from what God had said, and that was true concerning him. But I want to notice also with you that Caleb had great faith regarding God's presence. No doubt, as I mentioned earlier, for sometimes for him it was a lonely pathway. But he was conscious that during the turbulent times, during the battle times, even since it came into Canaan, that the Lord was with him all the time. He was always there, even in circumstances, if he looked to the right and to the left, there was no one that he felt he could depend on. God was with him. I want to speak to you younger people here today. Very difficult days in school and university. Some of my boys we have seven fellow boys. Some of them are working, two in Queens, and the other three, two in high school and one final year in primary school. So we know all about how difficult it can be. And I just want to say to you today that wherever you are, there's no substitute for the Lord being with you. There's a lady in our prayer meeting, and on occasions she prays, "Lord, that the children, we know they're saved, but that they would have a walk with God. Not just be able to say, 'I got saved on such and such a date,' but I have an up-to-date walk with God for me. A personal walk with God." And folks, young people, that's when you really know the closeness of the Lord. Some of you will be aware, perhaps, that for over 5 years I was a minister in Bridlington, Free Presbyterian Church. And at that time, there was a young fella coming there, and he was a Christian fellow, I think he was 15 at the time, and he came up one day to me and he said he'd been in school, and they were going to watch something in class. I'm not sure what it was, but it was inappropriate anyway, and he went to the teacher and he said, "Excuse me, would you mind, I'm a Christian and I don't feel it would be appropriate for me to watch what the class is going to watch." And the teacher said to him, they said, "That's fine." They said, "If you want, you can tell the class why you don't want to watch it." Quite an unusual thing to say. And he gave his testimony. Now, do you think of that if you're a teenager today? He's 15 in England, in Yorkshire. He gave his testimony to them and in a very, very gracious way. And he explained to them why he felt he could not watch what they were going to watch. They gave him a standing ovation. God honours them that honour Him. And young people, remember this. Even if you do not consciously feel that God is with you, He's promised to be with you. And that will make all of the difference for you as you seek to navigate your way into adulthood and through life. Caleb here, had great faith regarding God's presence. If you look there in verse 10, it says in verse of chapter 14, "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as He said." See, again, he's saying, the Lord said that, and now He's done it. "As He said, He's kept me alive these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses." And then he talks about, "I am this day 85 years old." He's full, again, of what God had said. You don't know. You don't know, and you don't believe God's word. You don't rest upon God's word. If you're not conscious of His presence, or conscious that He's promised to be with you. Sometimes our feelings are important for us. Sometimes they trip us up. Because I remember a missionary one time being very honest and saying there have been times during the past time in the field, there were some times when we were actually not really very conscious of the Lord's presence, but we knew He was there. They were meeting, they were praying, they were preaching, doing all the things that they had to do, but they just were brought to that point where they rested upon the word that God had said He would be with them. And that was the story with Caleb. And again, if I can narrow it down a little bit to your individual circumstances today. People have many burdens. And I've been over 20 years ordained. And I know a little bit about them. And I know how they can get people down. And how they can wear us down. And how they can take away our joy. But remember what we read over there in Peter. In Peter's first epistle, chapter 5 and verse 7. It says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." The word "casting" there means to fling. Like you boys come in from school with your school bag and you fling it away. You never want to see it again. Maybe you've done that at half term. You don't just set it down and say, "There you are, Mom. We'll get it next week." You take it and throw it. It's casting or flinging all your care upon Him. The word "care" there is a word which means to be drawn in different directions. You mummies know a bit about that. Get up in the morning, can't find the keys. One child wants to go to the toilet when you're already late. Another one's just spilt something all over the table. I've been there all the times. You feel drawn in different directions. Well, that's what the word "care" here means. Casting or flinging all of that which draws you in different directions. Casting it upon Him. And it says, "For He careth for you." Now, the word "careth" there is very different from the word "care." The word "care" was that which draws you in different directions. But the word translated "careth" is a word that refers to a nursing mother. A mother with a little newborn baby and she's holding it so close to her. And if you want to harm that baby, well, you're going to have to harm the mother first. But you mothers know about that. That's what it means. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Whenever you believe that God's presence is with you, you're able to do that. And you're able to go from day to day. And to experience not only His closeness, but to experience in some degree a calmness. Stress is a big thing today. speak to men who are, in my opinion, stronger and more experienced than me, speaking to them, crying, telling me to cry when they get up in the morning and they don't know why. Stress, pressure, and anxiety for a whole host of reasons. Men truly drawn in different directions. And the thing about it is, most people won't talk about it. But we can cast it all upon Him. You and I could not fully appreciate just what went through Caleb's mind for 45 years. The Lord has promised me Hebron, and look at the state of this. And maybe, again, you're in a circumstance right now. It's a bit of a cul-de-sac. You don't really see any light at the end of the tunnel. I trust today that you will know much of His presence, because He's promised you His presence. And that makes all of the difference for us. Over there in Philippians chapter 4, Paul is writing to the church there at Philippi. Philippians chapter 4, he says in verse 6, "Be careful for nothing." The word meaning over anxious. Be careful. It's easy said, isn't it? And then to be full of anxiety. But it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." You see where it says there that in everything by prayer, that literally refers to a life living in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit of prayer. But then it says also, and supplications. That is bringing particular things before the Lord in prayer, which you do as a congregation. But it also says there are requests. There's prayer and then supplications and requests. And the reference there is to little minute details. Sometimes that's where the problem lies, isn't it? We don't really want to share it with anyone because we think it's too insignificant. Well, here, be careful or be over anxious for nothing, but bring it all before Him. Verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding, shall keep or garrison your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Caleb exemplified an overcomer's life. And he did it because he didn't allow anything to distract him from what God had said. Don't you let anyone distract you from God's Word and God's promises in His Word. And more than that, he had great faith regarding God's presence. Day after day, there was no sign of him having Hebron, but he held on for that. But remember, it's when not seeing is believing. One final thought here, and it is this. Caleb did not limit God. He did not limit God. And I'll be the first one today to put my hand up and say that many a time I have limited Him. And then I've been embarrassed to myself when He did more than I asked. We tend to limit Him because of the way that it is in the world today. And if you ask the Lord for something that you believe is legitimate and you're praying about it, you think it's something you can ask Him about, then why would we limit Him? Caleb was asking the Lord for something that He had promised. And in God's Word, He has promised that He will bless and use His Word. He's promised He'll bless the preaching of His Word. He's promised He'll bless and undertake for His people. In every circumstance, He will give them either deliverance or grace. You think of Peter and James. James was killed. And Peter was delivered. James got the grace to die in prison. And the Lord delivered Peter from it. He will give us either grace, or deliverance. He did not limit the Lord. And folks, as we wind up the message today, we would simply say to my own heart especially, I think of the words that one of my brethren, again over in Bradlington, he's a man who was a very big encouragement in the work there and a great help, always willing to do what he could and always pleasant to people. He often prayed in the prayer meeting, "Thou art coming to a king with the large petitions bring." And folks, there's much to pray for today. When seeing, well, you're not seeing around you the signs of revival. We're not seeing a growing interest in honouring the Lord's Day. We're not seeing a growing interest in what the Bible teaches. We're not seeing any of that. But we certainly believe that God is sovereign. And He is in control. The title today is, "When Not Seeing Is Believing." Remember the lesson from Caleb. He wasn't distracted from what God had said by anything. Time didn't matter. He just held on to the Lord. He knew the Lord's presence not because circumstances in a favorable way changed or were favorable all the time, because they weren't. But God had promised to be with him and to one day bring him into Hebron. And then he did not limit the Lord. 85 years old. The giants were now very well established in the mountain. And he had an uphill battle literally before him. And you can read the story yourself of how the Lord delivered them into his hand. What a marvelous character he was. The meaning of his name is very interesting. With this I'm finished. The name Caleb means dog. Now, it would be tempted to say that a dog is obedient, but I have a Springer Spaniel, and, well, he's got to be mind of his own sometimes. But generally, dogs are very obedient. Some are extremely obedient to their owners. Maybe that was the secret of Caleb's success. He was obedient to the Lord. We read this morning, he wholly followed the Lord. What an example. His life's tonic. Great encouragement to us all in these days to press on with the Lord. When not seeing is believing. Keep believing His Word. Keep reaching out with His Word. And keep seeking Him for much as Caleb did. I trust that the Lord will be pleased to bless these few thoughts to your hearts this morning. Again, I'm sorry I'm not able to speak to you at the door, but it's just the way things are. We'll have a wee word of prayer together.